Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, January 4th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the second Sunday after Christmas Day, and we will also celebrate Epiphany today as well. Happy New Year to you. I pray that you're well. I pray that your holiday celebrations were joyful. However the whole season went, I'm so glad you're here and that we can have an opportunity to begin the year together. So let's jump right in and begin as we do here by taking in a big, deep breath. Let's breathe together. And hold on to that breath. Don't just hold it. Savor it. And let it go. And as you breathe, take in another breath. I want you to call to mind the things that are best, the things that are good and pure, true, worthy, and lovely, and name all of them as gifts from Almighty God, to give thanks to God for the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy and thanksgiving. And in this state of mind, in this posture of thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. Let's begin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The true light has come into the world and shines in the darkness. Wise ones from distant lands followed the light they were given. We come to pay attention to God's revealing presence among us. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. We behold God's glory, revealed for all humankind. Come, let us worship the one made known to the nations. We will follow the light of Christ with attentive hearts. Gospel reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel in the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray and we give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of this, your good and living word, a word of inspiration and encouragement, a light that shines in the darkness. And we pray, dear God, as we gather around your word, that you will abide with us, that you'll help us, that you'll bring us to a place of stillness, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction, and help us to truly hear what it is you're saying to us in this moment. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are together at the beginning of a new year, the year of our Lord 2026, a whole slate of days. How will they turn out? We don't know exactly. We have our ambitions and our hopes and our dreams, and we can anticipate the good and maybe some of the bad in the year to come. But we're blessed in this moment together to reflect on an ancient story that will give us hope for whatever the new year brings. Many of us, over the course of our celebration of New Year or the holiday season, you might have heard the song Auld Lang Syne. I'm most familiar with it because it's a song they sing at the end of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And I was struck very recently in preparing for this sermon, as a matter of fact, that I have really no idea what Auld Lang Syne is about. I don't even know what Auld Lang Syne means. I confess, I'm not very bright in that way. And that's a problem because I didn't pay attention. I was familiar with the tune. I've heard it sung. And it just kind of washed over me as a seasonal song. Didn't give it much thought. So finally, I took the time to look it up and learn a few things. That expression, Auld Lang Syne, comes from the Scots language. Literally translated, it means old long since. Or maybe a more simple translation would be times gone by. And I never really paid attention enough to hear the line, should old acquaintance be forgot, as the question that it is. Should old acquaintance be forgot? and never brought to mind? The composer of the song says, no, they shouldn't be forgotten. They should be brought to mind. It's a rich part of our human family to remember old acquaintances and bring them to mind. And fond acquaintances, certainly, but even those who frustrated us, challenged us, people that we're mad at, because they're all a part of who we are. They made us who we are today. And so in thinking about my lack of attention to the words of that song and the joy really that it sings of particularly gathering at the end of one year, ushering in a new year, remembering what has been, looking forward to what's ahead. And essentially it says, you know, you buy your pint and I'll buy mine, and we'll tell the stories of the days when we were younger and we ran in the fields and the joy of living. And we'll find cheer in the gathering. Can it be that we could engage our scriptures in this way? These ancient stories of people that we did not know personally. But if we've been around these stories long enough, certainly they've shaped our lives. And even if we haven't, these stories shaped the world in ways that we can only imagine. This story that so many of us are familiar with from Matthew's gospel, the story that is really the story that we read for the day of Epiphany, the story of the coming of the wise men, these magi, clearly students of the nighttime sky, something new has happened. They're paying attention. Huh, that's new. That's brighter. It's in a different position. It means something. They don't just, what if they just shrugged their shoulders and said, oh, that's a pretty neat star, and then gone about their business? That wasn't their reaction. Something had changed. They paid attention to it. So significant was it that perhaps they scoured the literature. They looked at the philosophies and religions, and they came to discern that they needed to get to Jerusalem. Because to the best of their discernment, it was time to go pay homage to a new king who had been born there. They arrive there and things are different than they had concluded. The king wasn't there. King Herod was there. And there seemed to be something about this guy that didn't sit right with them. They explained the reason for their being there. Clearly, there was something calculated in the old man as he talked with them. A fear gripped him. And they would come to learn that if Herod was afraid, then everybody around Herod ought to be afraid too. But they explained to him what they'd seen, and Herod got his best and brightest together, the chief priests and scribes, and they said, indeed, when this one is born, he'll be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod sends them to Bethlehem, and he says this, and I have to believe that in their wisdom, they knew something was up when he said, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage to him. And so they set out, and they go, and they continue to focus their attention on this star, this bright light in the sky. And they follow until this star appears to stop over a house. And they're intrigued. And so they knock on the door. And they enter the house. And there, and let's all pay attention. Let's all take ourselves into that moment. You cross the threshold into the house. And there before you is Mary and her baby Jesus. And they knew that the miles were worth it. They knew that the risk was worth it. And they simply respond through the giving of gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts rich with meaning, gifts of value, gifts worthy of a king, gifts worthy of a king who will give his life for his people. And again, paying attention. After they've made their presentations, they're warned in a dream. Not just one of them, having been warned in a dream. Did they all have the same dream? Did they have similar dreams? But something came in a dream. This continued theme of angels and dreams and starlight. Humble people on the outskirts of polite society being drawn in to the new thing that God is doing. It's been an old long since. That is a time long gone by. But so important that finally it was written down and shared with anyone who could hear it. And some people would hear it and pass it off as just another story, but others would be brought to their knees and to offer their gifts and to form communities around it. And so here at the beginning of the year, my encouragement to you and a challenge I make to myself is to not let old acquaintance be forgot, particularly our acquaintance with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the story of how he comes to be among us. The gospel reading that we actually have today per the lectionary is the very wonderful and beautiful prologue to the gospel of John in the first chapter, that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. This pre-existing, eternal, creative, life-giving Word that is born of Mary, come to save us all from hopelessness and aimlessness and sin. Save us from ourselves and our egos and our unchecked appetites. All of that in the peace and quiet of this moment. A mother holding this child in her arms who must be in a very serious time of consideration and contemplation. So perhaps as you're taking down the decorations and sending the thank you notes, maybe filling in some of the dates in the 2026 calendar, take some time to remember times gone by. In your own life, in your own life story, in your own family. Maybe that's just remembering the last couple of weeks of the Christmas season. Maybe that's way back into some early memory. But take some time to pay attention to the stories of God. And as we do, no matter what this year brings, we will find tremendous good news to which we can all say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you at the end of this Christmas season with anticipation of the year ahead, of Epiphany, of how you will be revealed in our lives. We give you thanks for all of it, God. And we confess that quite often we don't pay attention. We turn our backs, we plug our ears, and we don't want to hear what it is you have to say to us, for fear that we might have to change, for fear that we won't be able to go our own way for these varieties of reasons. And so we come humble and grateful, and we confess our sin to you, and we seek your forgiveness. You've promised that when we come to you in faith and humility, indeed you do forgive us. You put us on the path. You help us to see the days and weeks ahead as opportunities to love and to serve. And we are forever grateful. We pray, dear God, for this, your good world. We pray over people in positions of power and influence and leadership. Find one or two among them, O God. Soften their hearts. Inspire their thinking. Lead them in ways of grace and peace. God, we pray for friends and neighbors, co-workers, the folks we pass on the street. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers, hear their prayers. And God, you know the things that we hold close to our hearts, the joys and the concerns, the celebrations, the opportunities. So we take a moment to sit quietly in your presence as words fail. We hand our prayer lists to you, God, and we quietly and faithfully listen for your answers. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gift of our faith and the faithful men and women that have come before us who have preserved for us a prayer that goes by your name. Pray that you'd hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, as we prepare ourselves for the year ahead, I pray that we can pay closer attention to the nighttime sky, pay closer attention to the thoughts and feelings and the words of those around us, pay closer attention to the love of God revealed in ancient story through old friends. The Word of God, made flesh, our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you with peace. Go in peace. Amen.